Carmen Miksha and Sophia Miksha, your hosts of Seeds of Sunshine, a mother-daughter multi-generational podcast filled with laughter, wisdom, and advice.
I am a high school student in the IB program, a runner, and a sister.
I have a BA and MA degree in English and have published 3 poetry books, a tennis book, and 2 essay anthologies, which you can find on Amazon or my website, carmenmiksabooks.com. I am also the broker CEO of Dynamic Real Estate, my own company. To buy or sell a home with me, please visit my website, dynamicsacramentohomes.com, and mention this podcast for a discount on commission.
Thanks so much for tuning in. We promise you Seeds of Sunshine once a week to elevate your lives and dreams through better communication between generations.
With 3 decades of professional culinary experience, Raphael has graced the kitchens of Michelin star restaurants, luxury hotels, 5-star resorts, and private estates. Alongside his wife, Toni, cooking and hosting dinners together at home has been the binding force that continues to unite them through their marriage. Chef Raphael and his wife, Toni's mission is to empower others to bring the luxurious essence of their favorite restaurants right into their own home. They aim to show you how to craft exceptional meals that don't take all evening to make, strengthen the couple's connection, and create memorable dining experiences within the comfort of your home kitchen.
Welcome to Seeds of Sunshine, Raphael and Toni. We are deeply honored and happy to have you on season 2 of our Seeds of Sunshine, a mother-daughter podcast. And how are you both doing today?
We're doing great, Carmen. Thanks for having us.
We're doing really good. Thank you for having us also. Thank you.
Of course. And before we dive into our inspiring and fun conversation, as always, I would like to start the episode with a quote and a joke. And the quote is this one. Cooking with kids is not just about ingredients, recipes, and cooking. It's about harnessing the imagination, empowerment, and creativity.
That's beautiful.
It's very also very true. Yes, exactly.
Yes. And I have a joke pun. So let's see if you have the
let's
answer.
Hear it.
What's the difference between chemistry and cooking?
Ooh, good one.
What's the difference between chemistry and cooking?
Chemistry is scientific, I guess. And with cooking, but this is a joke though.
I'm trying to be serious about how to answer it, but it's actually a joke. So I don't know.
All okay. Right. So in chemistry, you should never lick the spoon.
Very true. Actually, yes, I do get...
You have to tell him that, right? Because he's all cooking and he's always licking the spoon.
Yes. I sometimes take like 5 spoons out just because I need to taste it because the flavors develop. It's, you know, the flavors change. So I always have to taste a lot.
Speaking of chemistry, there is a wonderful book out there. It's called Lessons in Chemistry.
Okay.
Yes, and it's amazing because she cooks and she's on this cooking show, but she doesn't want to just teach cooking. She wants to teach the science of cooking, chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
In the last few years, that's become extremely popular. Finding out why flavors develop, finding out flavor combinations.
And the reason behind it,
the perfect temperature to cook something is not always what you think. So yeah, it's the science or the chemistry of it has really been very popular the last, I would say, 10 years. Mm-hmm. People are writing books about that now.
Absolutely. So our listeners will have 2 jobs. To listen to you guys speak about cooking and to read Lessons in Chemistry.
There you go.
That's their homework.
Yes.
Yeah. So I am always fascinated, and my daughter too, she always loves asking the guests about how a certain passion develops. So walk us through, Toni, how did you discover your passion for cooking? Did you used to cook as a kid? Do you have any fond memories of cooking with your parents or growing up?
That would be more on Raph's side. So to give you a background, Raph does all the cooking. I mix the drinks and I set a beautiful table.
Yes.
So we really make a great combination. And my parents say that about me as well. So I learned to set beautiful tables growing up as a kid. Like you said, you know, it's multi-generational. I saw it with my parents. My parents, they never use paper plates. I always saw for every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And he saw it when he went visit us in my country, in the Philippines. The table was always set. And it was always set beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Raf has a passion for cooking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean. For me, I would say the same question for me. I didn't love it right away, but it was always, you know, I'm coming from a Cuban background, Spanish. So food is extremely important. Everything we do is, okay, let's get together for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Everything is around food. My grandfather was a very good cook. My mom, my family, they're very good cooks. But I will say the one thing that helped me out after high school, I worked at a bank for 3 years. And then I just saw a commercial about a culinary school.
An infomercial, right?
Infomercial at that time. I saw a commercial and I said, Mom, I'd like to try that. And I will tell you, it was the first time, and I had some really crazy idea. I wanted to do a lot of things, but it was the first time that I said to myself, I want to come back the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I fell in love with it. It's just, it's different every day. You're continuously learning and you are making, you know, you're around food, and who doesn't want a connection with food? So for me, that was my thing. It wasn't a first love. I was always into it. But when I joined the school and I saw it and I was doing it every day, it was just creating new things. You know, it's almost like I can't paint or draw, but I can cook, you know, and I think that was my creative expression. Is just, you know, really enjoy it. I love the planning. I love the execution of it. I love the putting it together. I love the fact that it's busy. It's, you know, it's a little stress, but sometimes it's fun. And no matter how good or bad, you still want to do it the next day.
Yes, I agree. And cooking is so creative. You know, I'm a published author. I write poetry, essays, memoir. And I always feel that you have to put the right ingredients into everything you do in life. Whether it's cooking, whether it's writing, whether you're studying for a hard exam, you know, whether you have a difficult project, when you bring that creativity and that excitement and joy to it, it doesn't feel like work.
100%. And something that I always tell people is, if something doesn't come out good one day, try something else the next day. Don't just give up because of a bad grade, you know what I mean? Or a B or a C. If you just focus a little bit more, you know, you can make it happen. If you have the passion for something, don't give it up. You know, it will come together. It's probably not going to happen overnight, but you do get a little bit faster. You do get a little bit more organized. You do get a little bit more, as you said, ingredients. You learn more ingredients. You might start with 5. If it's a passion and you cook, it might be 50. It might be 100. And that's what I really enjoy, is creating something out of nothing.
Yes. Yes. So powerful. And speaking of creating at a high level, Rafael, you used to be a chef in maybe a few Michelin star restaurants. Why don't you tell our listeners, what is it like and what did you learn and, you know, did you enjoy it?
Oh, I worked at 3 Michelin, so actually 5, because I lived in Spain for a while. But I loved it because I was younger, obviously. I was younger, and it was something that you just wanted to improve. But what I also enjoyed about it was the people that you were working with. They were all as disciplined as you were, as organized as you were. And, you know, because not everybody can make it in a Michelin star restaurant. Either you can or you can't. And that's what I loved about it. It's that you come in, you don't care about the hours that you're working, if it's 10, 12, 14 hours, because you know there you're learning something, you're appreciating something, you love the people that you're working with. You know, you yell at each other, you burn each other, you might cut yourself, you might get a little upset at a waitress or a waiter. But guess what? After the night is over, you all get together and you go out.
It's like a family.
It's a family. It is actually, when we cook for ourselves, we call it a family meal. You know what I mean? And that's what I loved about a Michelin star restaurant. It's that everybody has the same vision, the same drive, the same this. And it's just wonderful when you can get that, you know.
When you're surrounded by it.
When you're surrounded by it is really wonderful. And obviously cooking great food, learning different ingredients. As you said, every day you're learning something different. And I still think, even when you're not cooking in Michelin star restaurants, you learn something in the kitchen every single day. If it's a different herb, a different spice, a different way of doing something. And I think that is what, to me, is exciting in teaching other people that it's not just one way of doing something. It's many ways of doing something. And when someone's, you know, I mean, for example, someone might have a small pantry, as you said, small ingredients. But then once you get more into it, it grows. And not only is your pantry growing, you are growing too. Your children are growing, your spouse, your husband, your wife. And it becomes, they see you happy. They see you creating something wonderful. They want to be part of it. Even if Tony doesn't cook, not that much, she's with me. She's, how's your day? How is the kids' day? How is your homework? How is your school? Grab me this, grab me that. And I am cooking, but I'm cooking with them. They might not be cooking, holding a knife or doing this, but we're together. And to me, usually before, I was cooking and everybody's having a good time. Mm-hmm. Now I'm cooking and everybody's having a good time together.
It's like a way we decompress at the end of the day. When he gets home, you get in the kitchen, we stop what we're doing, and we're around the kitchen counter. Yes.
I mean, for me, it's like, no matter how good or a bad day you have at work, or if you have a bad day at work, when you come home to your kids, nothing else matters.
Well, how about your wife?
And my wife. It's like nothing else matters. And you just forget about it. You get around the kitchen and says, what do you want? How was your day, sweetie? Or stuff like that.
That remembers me.
But again, those are the things that you remember, you know? And I do say something that I've told to Tony a lot. COVID, while it was really going on, it was a reality check for us, because I realized I was spending so much time at work making beautiful dishes for strangers. And guess who wasn't getting beautiful dishes? My wife and my kids.
Carmen, we were getting scraps.
We
were getting boxed.
Yeah, it was pasta. And then when I wasn't working for those 4 or 5 months is when I really started doing all these cooking classes. Thanks to Tony. You know, I mean, it was just, and that's when I made a huge effort in my part, our part, to make sure that we can provide the restaurant experience at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I can make beautiful dishes for strangers, I can make even more beautiful dishes for my wife.
Yes, so powerful. And what you said, you know, that happened a lot for many people who were able to see that things have changed during the pandemic, and who are able to understand that, you know, it's not all bad. It can be a blessing in disguise what happened to so many all over the world. Like, for instance, for me, I was cooking like crazy during the pandemic, and I made recipes that I never make. And I was like even baking, which I don't normally do, but it was just like so relaxing and so wonderful to tell my family, because we didn't go to restaurants for a long time, you know, yeah, till it was safe. So I would say, okay, I tried this new recipe. And at first they would say, I'm sure it's not good, Mom. I'm like, just try it.
Always try it. Yes. Always at least try it. So you can, if you don't like it, at least try it. But one thing that we learned, almost like what you said in your cooking, was if you don't like something, it's because you've never had it done well. You know what I mean? So if you don't like something that someone did 5 years ago or 3 years ago, try it again. But I do know one thing. When someone cooks at home, even if it's not the most perfect meal, everybody ends up eating it and having a good time.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what happened to me too. I really ramped up my writing, you know, because I realized, hey, I'm kind of home or in lockdown. I should finish my poetry book. So you see the books behind me. I just published 3 poetry books during the pandemic. Like I had so much renewed energy and desire to create, right?
Yes.
And that's so powerful. And speaking of creating and cooking with the family, since we're a multi-generational podcast, what is your advice to get kids more excited about cooking and more involved in cooking?
For our kids, at least, it's doing with, you know, like if we go to a restaurant and they like a dish, I'm going to recreate that dish at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they like something that's, you know, could be very, it's okay. I know that I can probably make it better. So I want to do that at home for them, you know, and that's, you know, again, it's a way of, oh, you're making that. I need to try that.
Mm-hmm.
I need to try that.
We also try to take them along from beginning to end from the grocery shopping.
Yeah.
Oh, you want this? Oh, it involves this.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get whatever it is, cucumbers or, mm-hmm. you know, the right type of tomatoes, a special type of this and that. Yeah, that's what we do.
And sometimes it's like, you know, you can buy a peach and it's hard and green. Mm-hmm. Don't give that to them. Give it to them when it's perfect.
Yes.
And then teach them, broaden their knowledge of ingredients. You know, it's every city in the world now has a grocery store that didn't exist 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now you can give them not just broccoli, you can give them Brussels sprouts, you can give them celery root, you can give them different vegetables and fruits that were not available when we were their age. And I think it's, they got to try it. They have to try it. There's some things that they might not like now, but I'm trying my best to improve their palate. Like my daughter will say, I don't like this because you added a different cheese. And she's right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like, it's a little too, it's perfect spice for me, but it's going to be spicy for mom. But again, they're learning their palate. And that's also very important to me because it's something that will develop the rest of, you know, I mean, forever. You get to learn new foods, new ingredients, new ways of doing something. And
but
that's,
another thing in the kitchen you might want to add to that is what you've also taught your students about, you know, sometimes as a mom, or if he's doing the cooking, if you get kids involved in the kitchen, you're going to think, oh, it takes longer. They're just going to make a mess. Mm-hmm. You have to allow them to make the mess so that they'll be interested and they'll know that, hey, it's okay to make a little bit of a mess.
Yes.
But at least they're in the kitchen with you.
Yes.
Let them, you always say, I always tell him, watch his fingers, the knife. And he's like, that's okay. Let him get hurt so he doesn't have to do the same mistake. So very different. So
yes.
I'm here thinking as a mom, and he's thinking as like a chef. Yeah.
But again, if they make a mess one day, after a month, it's not going to be a mess anymore.
Because they know the routine.
Yes. And it's, I think in one of our, you know, students would say it is a lifelong skill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just, as you said before, it's like cooking teaches you organization, measurements, heat, cold, how to do so many things that it's completely always evolving. And if you think you've learned all of it, it's not true. There's still more. But for us, get them involved. They're going to make mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes. Give them something based on their age and their, you know, I'm not going to give my 3-year-old child a very sharp knife. You know, I might say, whisk the eggs, crack an egg.
Wash the veggies.
Wash the veggies, peel a carrot. But they're still being involved. And that, again, that's the most important part, is that I can do it faster. I can save time. But that time that we're spending,
developing their
interest. I'm developing and I'm loving every moment of it.
Yes, I agree. I always loved involving the kids in the kitchen, even though sometimes we would make cookies or whatever we were making, you know, but they loved it. And during the pandemic, our son, he's 18 now, he even was watching TikTok videos and he's like, I'm going to make myself an amazing grilled cheese sandwich, mom. And I would be like, go ahead, be my guest. And then he started cooking for his sister, for Sophia, because she was like, I love it. And you make it so good. And Alex would make it for her. He would go and say, Sophia, I'm making grilled cheese sandwich. Do you want one? And she would be like, yes.
But that's where, actually, I don't know if you know, but that is my weakness, is grilled cheese sandwiches. I mean, it's just...
After all the good things that he makes, all the five-star meals, he comes home and he will have a grilled cheese sandwich.
But again, if you do it well, sometimes the simplest things are also the easiest things to mess up.
Mm-hmm.
But a grilled cheese sandwich done well, toasted bread, warm, melted
cheese.
Tell
Carmen your secret of...
Yes, please tell us the whole recipe.
The simple one that he does, he made for my dad. And my dad was like, what did you put in here?
Well, I mean, the thing is, you don't rush it. There's a couple of secrets. The first secret is you don't want to rush it. People want to do a grilled cheese sandwich in 3 minutes on high heat. The toast is going to burn and the cheese is not melted yet. It's mm-hmm. one thing that drives me a little nuts. But the secret is I don't put butter. You put mayonnaise.
Tell her why. There's the science behind
it. There's a science behind it. When you grab it, your fingers don't get greasy.
Ah.
But it toasts absolutely beautiful. It's like everything. It's like the one thing about cooking is when someone tells me, how does a restaurant make it so good? They take their time. Don't rush it. You know, and that's why I say taste everything, because if you taste it from beginning to end, you'll see the flavors develop.
Mm-hmm.
So the grilled cheese sandwich, it might take you a little bit at the beginning. It's not toasted just yet, but you don't want to rush the toasted bread if the cheese is not melted yet. So it might take me 10 minutes to make a grilled cheese, but I know I'm going to be happy with it.
So, Rafael, you don't make it in the frying pan?
Yes, I make it in the frying pan. I brush it with mayonnaise, and then I put it in a frying pan.
Okay.
Ideally, I like using for that sometimes like a nonstick pan, just in case it's easier to flip, to slide around. But I always take a peek. I always lift it under to make sure that the color is nice. I flip it once just because it's safer for children and for Tony that doesn't cook that much. Flip it once. But again, take your time. You'll be happier. I always tell people, you're saving 2 minutes. Do you want something average or do you want something wonderful? And sometimes it is those 2 minutes.
Okay. You know? And do you put the mayo on the outside, right?
Yes, just on the outside, not in the inside. I just put cheese in the inside.
Right.
Yes. On the outside, mayonnaise on both sides. To make it easier, I put mayonnaise on one side when I'm cooking it, and while it's cooking, I brush the other side. That way I don't make too much of a mess.
Uh-huh. And what's your favorite cheese that you put inside?
Okay. I like maybe, I would say for me, it's cheddar.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But again, here you put a slice of American cheese and it melts really well. I'll use cheddar. I'll use mozzarella. I'll use some Swiss cheese, whatever we really have. You know what I mean? I try not to use, for example, maybe blue cheese is not the perfect thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
But again, and you don't need that much cheese. It's like a perfect pizza is not a lot of cheese.
Right.
You know, it's maybe 2 or 3 slices of cheese is perfect. Sometimes they put 8 because they think it's going to melt faster. It's not true.
No.
3 slices of cheese or 2 melts just fine. Like I love the Italian grilled cheese, the mozzarella and corazza.
Mm-hmm.
It's like bread, soft bread. You put a slice or 2 of mozzarella, fresh mozzarella. That's it. You dip it almost like in eggs and Parmesan, and then you fry it in olive oil. So when you break it open after it's golden brown, it looks like a pizza of all the cheese stretching.
Wow.
But again, but it takes time. But once you do it once, again, in the kitchen, Once you get used to something good, you don't want to go back to something bad.
Right.
You know, once you get good cheeses or good cheddar cheese, you don't want to have bad cheddar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you have a nice glass of wine, you don't want to have a bad glass of wine.
Absolutely. Yes, I love it. We'll put this recipe in the show notes too.
We can write it down for you.
Yes,
also,
yes.
We'll write it down.
Yes, that would be great. Yes. You guys can email it to me. Mm-hmm. And the other one that sounds like pizza.
Yeah.
You'll
I'll
definitely
take notes.
Like that.
We'll send you both.
And let us know if your son tries it.
Yes, I definitely will. And I'm going to get Sophia involved because my son loves cooking more than Sophia. So
oh.
I need to I need to have her cook more, you know?
I'm telling you, it's just, it's really so nice. Actually, you mentioned a quote when we first started. I just read another quote from this gentleman says, now I know what my mom said, you know, because now he's paying for his own meals, right? Because he lives by himself. And then he said, now I know what my mom meant when she said we had food at home. Because when we have food at home, you eat that. You don't go out every single day to eat.
Yes.
And again, if you're going to be at home, do it right. Take your time. A lot of meals that people don't realize take less than 30 minutes.
Oh, yes.
You know, absolutely. And I think, and they think the restaurants do fancy things. No, they just maybe get a nicer ingredient or a better quality ingredient, but it also takes half an hour. And, you know, and sometimes people think that when you go to a restaurant and they make meatballs, for example, they make them every day. No, they make them three days ago.
Yeah. You know?
And I think that's a way of looking at it that you can say, oh, really?
Yeah. Well, they made it ahead. Who
they made
think,
it ahead.
Right?
They made it ahead. And I think that's just a nice way of looking at it that you can do it.
Mm-hmm. You can do it as good as a restaurant.
You can do it if you have the time. So, you know, actually, you make the time because if you love something, you always find time for it. But again, you can definitely do it. Challenge yourself, and I guarantee you, you will be pleasantly surprised when you see something from raw to cooked that you made yourself.
Yes, you bring up a very important point because we like to go to Olive Garden from time to time, and the kids really like that chicken gnocchi soup. So one day I'm like, yeah, that's not a big deal. So I looked up recipes and sure enough, it came up, you know, the Olive Garden gnocchi soup, right? So I put all together all the ingredients and I make it, and it was just so good. And then one evening, Alex was having, I think, 10 kids from school. They were working on a big project at our house. And so I made a big pot of gnocchi chicken soup. And I served to everyone with breadsticks, right? And they're like, oh my gosh, this is better than Olive Garden. And I go, yes.
There you go.
But again, it's that simple. You know what I mean? And their mom made it. You're eating it at home. You can be in your shorts and a t-shirt. You can have a nice conversation. They're not trying to get you out of there.
Mm-hmm. You can have seconds.
Yes, service sometimes is really bad when you go to certain restaurants. You have to wait. Or it's, again, you made a wonderful soup that probably he will not have at Olive Garden again because his mom can make it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So another thing that you guys like to do, you cook together as a couple. So what, and then of course you set the table beautifully, Tony. What's your advice to other couples to maybe, you know, just get closer and spend quality time in the kitchen together?
I guess like what we would do, you would always, Raph always will ask me, what do you want to eat?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or it can be the other way around. If the, you know, if the wife likes to do the cooking, that question can go around the other way.
Yeah.
And then what we do normally is we plan it because it has to be planned. We do the grocery together. So even that is like a date on its own. Mm-hmm. So because we're older now, our dates, we have some day dates that we get up early on a Saturday morning. Yeah. This is us. The kids are still asleep. We're up at the crack of dawn. We go to the farmer's market or the gourmet grocer. I have a coffee. He doesn't mm-hmm. drink coffee. Mm-hmm. So I have a coffee there. I have a little muffin, and that's our time. So that whole date begins from getting the ingredients, having that quiet breakfast, no kids, getting home early, and then the rest of the day or the weekend centers around cooking and eating together.
And it's amazing how you look forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a tease. Oh, I can't wait for Saturday. I can't wait for whatever day of the week. But again, it's something that we like doing together. You know, I'll show her a taste, or, you know, I'll try to give her this. You know, we might have a glass of wine or a drink
or
in the process.
So we like to do that.
So again, it keeps us wanting to be there. And I think I'm Spanish, Filipino, we're very similar in the Spanish background. Every party starts and ends in the kitchen. And I think it's just something that we look forward to. What can couples do? don't challenge yourself. You know what I mean? If you're going to make the gnocchi soup from Olive Garden, make the soup, but buy the breadsticks. You know what I mean?
Not all at once.
You know what I mean? Maybe the next time you make the breadsticks or something else or the Caesar salad. But again, it starts slow. And I'm telling you, it'll be something that you're working. And then you realize that the groceries together, the cooking together, the eating together, it's 3 or 4 hours spending it with someone you love.
Yes. You know?
And there's
lots of stuff that goes on in the kitchen. It's not as if we're always like, oh, we're so happy. Sometimes we argue.
Yeah.
Sometimes I make a mistake. He'll sometimes say, you're so slow. Can you just chop or whatever it is? But it's a way that you're still connecting.
Yes.
We're still kind of getting to know each other, you know, in that sense.
The kitchen sense.
And it's teamwork.
Yes.
And in the end, we'll still enjoy that good meal, even it after just, some bickering.
But it's just oh yes. But it's one, like for me, my biggest pet peeve that Tony does, she cooks pasta and doesn't put salt in the water. That drives me nuts. But again, it's just coming together. I ask her, what do you want? She's not going to say a grilled cheese. She might say something a little bit nicer that she's looking forward to. And then I'm giving her something that she's looking forward to. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting as much out of it as she is because we're together.
And ever since before when we were dating, so that's the history of that. So he was one who literally wined and dined me in every sense of the word around New York City back in, you know, the mid-2000s. And I remember you'd always tell me, like, you eat so much different food more than the average chick.
Yes.
And it would impress him, like, wow, she ate this. And you would say, like, my reaction to the food was just like, oh, look. And he still likes that. Yeah. When he makes something, try this.
Mm-hmm.
And he still wants to see my reaction. Here we are, like almost 2 decades later. Mm-hmm.
I read something a couple of weeks ago that a child needs to eat something, I think, 20 times to really like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so don't give up after the first one or the 10th one or the 5th one. But again, it's not, I think... One thing that also is another pet peeve is the kids that don't like food. And then I realize it's their parents that don't like food either.
Mm-hmm.
So they just eat, you know, my family, I'll use them for example. They'll tell me, I love Chinese food. I'll take them to the best Chinese restaurant there is. And they tell me, oh, no, I only like fried rice. That's not Chinese food only. You know what I mean?
No.
Or I find out that the kids only like macaroni and cheese and chicken tenders. It's because that's what the mom and dad like.
Yeah.
Again, the kids should not be like that. They should be, but again, it's the parents trying to educate. Mm-hmm. As a chef, as a husband, as a father, it's educating constantly the guest, my wife, the children on ingredients.
Mm-hmm. Even our kids, sometimes they don't like a certain thing. And I'm thinking, okay, hopefully in a few years, we keep introducing this, they'll like it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as if, you know, here are chef's kids and then their palate is so wide.
No,
we're still developing it for them too.
Yeah. They do like a lot of things. And it's funny, I'll make it one day and my son will say, it's not as good as the last time you made it. Hey, I actually am not upset about it. I just like the fact that he knows
the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, a lot of kids, you give them Chef Boyardee and it tastes the same every time, but it's not that good for you. But again, we put things together. We make it from scratch. And by the way, I don't cook every day. I might cook Sunday and make a couple of different dishes to last me 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
You know, we have two almost teenage kids. We have a teenage kid and almost a 12-year-old. Having bolognese in the house or meat sauce. When they get home from school, they make themselves some pasta and make a meat sauce. Mm-hmm. If they're active children,
that's what they like.
There's nothing better than a meat sauce with a little bit of pasta and then go to baseball practice, you know, or eating, you know, something that you can say, at least I know I have that. Mm-hmm. At least I know there's a
go-to
meal.
And it's healthy and it's homemade.
Yes.
Yeah.
It takes me 2 or 3 hours. Something else is when there's a recipe and they look at the recipe and says 6 hours. Maybe the oven is 5.5 hours. You're not doing it. It's in the oven for 5.5 hours.
Yeah.
They look at the time and says, oh, I got no time to make a 2-hour bolognese. It's in the pot for 2 hours.
The oven is doing the work.
The oven or the stove is doing the work. You can be watching a movie. You can be cleaning the house. You can be watering your garden. You can be doing so many things. And still you're making a Sunday night meal that might last you 2 or 3 days.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Both my husband and I grew up in Romania during communism. Mm-hmm. And when we used to go to college, we would take a big pack of stuffed cabbage rolls, okay? And we call them sarmale in Romanian. And I tell you, that big pot of stuffed cabbage rolls, you know, it was made with meat and rice, pork, beef. It would last us easily 4 days. We kept heating them up. You know, you keep them in the fridge, you heat them up, you eat them with a piece of bread. It was just so easy, you know?
And you know something else? Maybe I'm like you. Tony's not. I can eat the same thing every day for 4 or 5 days and I don't complain.
Yes.
I can eat the same thing.
I'm up to 2 days.
Yes. I can do the same breakfast for a year.
Yes.
And not complain.
So he has a hard-boiled egg with sriracha sauce, right?
Yes, yes. Not anymore, no. But I would say for 2 years, every day I would have maybe some bacon or a slice of bacon or sausage, 2 hard-boiled eggs with some hot sauce every day. Because the eggs are good for me, protein, a little bit of this, no carbs, whatever it may be. I don't want to, since I'm on my feet a lot, I don't want to have oatmeal and yes. and bread and a bagel at, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm maybe like you, I the stuffed cabbage rolls, if it's good, I can eat it 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
It's not good, maybe not. But again, those are the memories that I just want to, you know, have and instill that it's not that complicated. And if you enjoy something, please enjoy it.
Absolutely. And because we're getting close to the end of our episode, we like to sprinkle seeds of sunshine for our listeners, which is something inspiring, uplifting, or even actionable. So what are your seeds of sunshine? One from each of you.
For me, I want to talk about enjoying the dining experience, because mm-hmm. It's not always about the beautiful table setting. It's just making those moments matter. Whoever it is you're with at home, if it's your immediate family, you've got, or you have guests over, gather around the table, gather around the kitchen counter, because that's where a lot of memories are made.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of stories, mm-hmm. a lot of stories that will be passed down for generations are always told in the kitchen counter or around.
It's almost like a book.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I would say for me, it was pretty much the same way, but I'll talk about food. It's an evolving thing. You know, and I just want people to have a love and a passion for food at a young age, so that it continuously develops. And that when you're any age, it doesn't matter if it's Romanian food, Cuban food, Chinese food, you have an appreciation for it. And, you know, Mexican food is meant to be spicy, Cuban food is not, but you can appreciate both.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's an appreciation and love of food. And you mentioned it at the beginning, let the ingredients stand out. You know what I mean? If I cannot make good food with bad ingredients, you can only make good food with good ingredients. You know, you can help, you can do a couple of things, but if you start with good ingredients, everything is easier and you can definitely do it.
Oh, that's wonderful. And before I let you guys go, how can listeners get a hold on you on social media and tell us your website, because it's beautiful?
Oh, thank you.
It's all her.
All right. You can find us and learn more about the work that Raf does and that we do together at chefrafaelgonzalez.com. That is our website. And you can catch us on social media on Instagram at chef.rafael.gonzalez.
Wonderful, you guys. Thank you so very much for being here with me today and sprinkling so many wonderful ingredients into our conversation. And I wish you both to keep on shining and to keep on cooking together.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carmen. It was so fun chatting with you.
And we will keep on cooking together.
And we hope you do too.
Yes.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, bye. Man. All the best.
To contribute and support our podcast, please become a subscriber or use the Coffee app, which you can find in our show notes. It is greatly appreciated. Thanks so much for listening, sharing, and reviewing our podcast. To connect, please follow me on Facebook and Twitter at Carmen Mixa and Carmen Seeds of Sunshine on Instagram. Thanks so much. Goodbye for now.